This episode of the Energy Stoners Cafe is sponsored by the Black Arts Matter Network, blackartsmatter.net. This episode is an excerpt from my public access TV show, Talk with TQ. Welcome to the Energy Stoners Cafe. My name is Toni Quest, and I'm really happy that you're here. I like to interview the most interesting people I can find on the planet. So grab a cup of coffee, sit down, relax, and listen. You're going to find that these guests are so intriguing, you'll wonder why you didn't know about them before. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. I'm so happy that you're here. And as usual, I try to find very interesting people to present to my audience, and that would be you. I'll have to say that I'm very fortunate in that sometimes people just kind of turn up or it might just be good timing. I'm just going to go back a little bit. A couple of years ago, I interviewed a wonderful man. His name was Tim Gillen, and he was talking about a philanthropic endeavor he engaged in because of something tragic that had happened in his life. Since then, he has passed away. We're all very sad it happened. When I spoke to Tim, it was about a disease, a very rare disease called Duchenne's muscular dystrophy, something that he lost his two sons to tragically. But after that, he went on to try to generate awareness of this disease and get more research done on the disease, and also to generate funds for the disease. But unfortunately, he passed away tragically. I'm very fortunate tonight to talk to someone that's involved in some of the things that he was trying to bring awareness to. Her name is Lindy Filis, F-I-L-I-S. Most of my audience might recall that the name of the organization was the Everett and Austin Foundation, named after his two sons that had passed away. Now, Lindy, tell me what your association was with this disease, because I understand that your son might also has this disease.
He does. Our son...
I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I tell you what, Toni, it's been a ride, but full of blessings too. It's absolutely incredible. Our son is 10 years old and he has Duchenne muscular dystrophy, and it is a muscle wasting disease. And right now it's fatal.
That's so terrible. You know, tell the audience the difference between Duchenne's and how it manifests, and as opposed to regular muscular dystrophy.
With Duchenne specifically, it affects the dystrophin in the muscles so that as you use your muscles over time, the body is unable to repair them and keep the body strong. So the muscles start to waste away, and it starts with walking. The boys and the girls, some girls, lose their walking abilities, and it progresses to their arms and also eventually pulmonary and cardiac as well.
It's so sad and it's scary to me. Now, when I spoke to Tim, he told me that it really only manifested in young boys, but yet the female carried the gene. And you're saying that it happens in girls as well.
It's very rare. I believe it's 1 in 10 million to have a female with full Duchenne muscular dystrophy. There are plenty of girls and women who are manifesting carriers. So the boys do get this either from a random mutation or from their mother. And because of the biology of how the X and Y chromosomes all match up, usually the girls aren't hit as severely, but I definitely know a few families, those girls are struggling just like the boys.
It sounds similar to the genetics of colorblindness, which generally happens to men. It rarely happens to women. Is it the same? Are those the same odds?
I would say they're both rare occurrences. That's what I'll go with.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So tell me how you got involved, how you found out about Tim, how you guys actually connected with regard to Duchenne's.
Oh, Tim is great. So I started my efforts at advocating for Duchenne about a year ago on Facebook. And Tim reached out to me and very, very slyly, very kindly, he pitched the whole hike for Duchenne to me. His work with Sub-Saharan Africa, and if I could, you know, just donate $10-$15 for the efforts. And gosh, Tony, he's just so genuine. It's just so heartfelt. We chatted online a little bit, and then we actually talked on the phone. And when we talked on the phone, I was like, oh man, this is important. This is important. And he hooked me in.
I remember him as a very charming individual, very much so, and so sincere, and very much devout person with regard to his faith. And I do remember taking a short walk with him once, and he was a rugged guy, you know, and I'm like, well, you know, it's like, I am wearing sneakers, but I don't really feel comfortable on this particular terrain. Now, did you know, well, I'll ask you this question. You probably know the answer to it. He had started something called Hiking for Duchenne's. And the unfortunate part was that he died while he was hiking, but I don't know if I believe he was alone.
Yes, he was alone. He often hiked alone. It was part of his fundraising and advocacy efforts for Duchenne muscular dystrophy. He accepted pledges for the number of miles that he hiked. And yes, very, very often he did it alone.
And I think that sometimes it could be a dangerous endeavor. He was hiking in the Adirondack Mountains at the time. And we don't know how it happened, but somehow he fell off a cliff. And I woke up one morning and I got a text message, actually from my director here, Jim, asking me if I had known about this, asking if this is the same Tim Gillen that we had interviewed. And I was shocked because I pretty much stayed in touch with him after that. So what's going on with the fundraising efforts at this point? Because I think that it's very important that everybody know about this.
Oh, I agree. I agree. Absolutely. So the families that Tim helped, he helped both individual families and organizations as well. It's the rare disease community and specifically Duchenne also. So he helped a bunch of people financially, specifically in Sub-Saharan Africa, the countries of Uganda, Kenya, Nigeria, and Cameroon. And so once Tim passed away, all of the funding to these families and organizations that he was supporting just stopped. It just stopped. You know, details about his estate and, you know, the way the organization was set up, funds were not accessible anymore. So as I was helping the family plan the memorial service, they asked if there was an organization that people could donate to instead of flowers in order to help. And so
you can tell me the story, but where can someone make a donation?
For the fundraising, Tony, we are trying to help these families that are suddenly without assistance and help them just for a temporary period of time while they get back on their feet. You can donate to, I'm going to give you the website here, qjdmd.co.za. This is a website of a great nonprofit in South Africa. And my good friend runs it, and she started it for her son, Quade. So it's Quade Journey Duchenne Muscular Dystrophy.
Okay, Quade Journey Duchenne's
with
muscular dystrophy. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's interesting. I'm wondering why this particular form of muscular dystrophy has the name Duchenne's. Do you know why it's mm-hmm. called Duchenne's?
It was named after the scientist who made big progress on it. It's been around for decades. If you look in old medical notes, you can see the symptoms being described, but Duchenne was the one who actually gave it a name.
This has been around for at least a century.
Most likely more, far more. It's a genetic mutation. It started off just as a change mm-hmm. in somebody's body, and then they pass it on to their children. And, you know, it's genetic, but it also can be a random mutation like my family. So I am not a carrier of Duchenne. We do not have it in our family. My son was the random mutation, just in utero. Tim's family, he has two boys with Duchenne, so it's highly likely that his wife was a carrier. But what's also interesting is sometimes that genetic mutation can happen in a woman. So she has the change, but she doesn't know it. And she's a carrier and she gives it to her child. So there's all different ways it can manifest and show itself.
That's very interesting. And it's sad. I remember talking to Tim about this at some length in our interview and also after our interview. I interviewed him on another program that I did at the time. He told me that this disease has caused marriages to break up. He shared very candidly that when his sons came down with this disease, it was so difficult for the family and so difficult for him emotionally that his marriage ended. You know, very sad because the disease was so devastating. It was more than the marriage can handle. So I'm wondering if there's any kind of provisions that are being made for the families, like the parents themselves.
There's a lot that's being offered in our Duchenne community, which is very fortunate. Specifically for the parents, you know, leaning on another Duchenne family is one of the really big ones. There's lots and lots of Duchenne Facebook groups out there now for parents to connect with each other. Insofar as organizations, that's one of the primary things that my own organization called Family, Friends, and Duchenne is working on. It's that support for relationships. So we actually recently did a webinar, two webinars on the stresses that marriages with children with special needs endure. And it's tough. And then, you know, not leaving out our friends and friends who have had to go through a divorce. We also hosted a webinar for going solo. Yeah, if you're doing this on your own, you need friends.
I can imagine. What is the name of the webinar? And can somebody access the webinar just to watch the webinar? Is it available?
Oh, most definitely. It's on our YouTube channel, Family, Friends, and Duchenne. And let's see, it's under Dr. Laura Marshak was our speaker. She's authored a couple books. So depending on which one you want, it's very easy to find in the playlist.
So what happens, like, what's it like? You know, I don't want to like stir up anything uncomfortable here, but what's it like raising a child with Duchenne's? What's that experience?
I'm going to say surreal. It's surreal. It's a lot of intense grief. It's a lot of intense growth, and it's a lot of, loving what you've got and just counting every single blessing. And it's so strange to say, but I really feel like with this strong reminder that not everybody is guaranteed to be here as long as we expect, I really feel like I've been living a fuller life. And I really feel like I've learned lessons that I can share with my children that are very, very important.
That's very important. It is very important. And I imagine that you formed some very important relationships within the family and friends with Duchenne's of Duchenne's.
Yeah, it's so strange because there is a disconnect initially whenever you get the diagnosis. There's definitely a disconnect. The level of grief that a parent will go through and the amount of energy it takes to pretend like everything's normal, because during the grief, they still have to parent. We still have to be on. We still have to pretend like everything's okay. You know, I hear often that little things, you know, being around with friends and families who don't have a child with a terminal illness, a birthday, just going to a birthday party, somebody else's birthday party, can be a big trigger. So One of the things I like to tell new families that are just diagnosed is get a pool for your son, an above ground pool, and get a therapist for yourself.
Why above ground particular? Is that just because it's more affordable?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a specific brand that I recommend, and it's, you know, when you get the diagnosis of Duchenne, suddenly every single penny counts, because that's how you're going. It's one of the big ways you're going to prolong your child's life. So, finances become incredibly important. And for our families in Africa, there's many who can't even afford basic standard of care that we take for granted so much in America. I mean, I'm struggling. I live in America. I don't really know what struggle is.
Yeah. I know that Tim took a lot of his energy and poured it into Africa. I know that he traveled there since our interview, and even before our interview, he traveled there a couple of times, and he seems to have a connection to Africa with regard to Duchenne's. Is it more prevalent in Africa?
Not necessarily. It really is a numbers game. Approximately one in every 3,600 live births for boys, a boy will have Duchenne. But the issue is the disparity of wealth and the lack of information. That's the big thing. You know, in the States, we've got information, we've got medical care, we've got knowledge. And one of my efforts is just to simply share that information. It doesn't cost a thing, but you know, if you suddenly know, oh, okay, if I can help my son stretch his legs every day, he might be walking for a few more years. Wow. How powerful is that?
It's the consistency, it sounds like. It's the consistency of doing this particular thing, the stretching. You know, I noticed that young boys like to be very, very active. So do you find your son to be somewhat frustrated by not being able to do everything that he has in his heart and his mind?
Most definitely. And that is one of the particularly cruel parts of the disease. Little boys like to go and run and move, and in general, dads like to kind of play rough with their boys. That's a big way they connect. And so when you don't have that means to really connect and communicate with your child, it can put some strain on the relationship. The dads have to start to get creative on top of the grief and on top of the financial restraints and, you know, layer upon layer. But right now, my son likes to move quite a bit. There's a higher prevalence of mental illnesses with Duchenne, and my son has a type of ADHD, and so he likes to move, and he's falling now more. He's in his later stage of ambulation, and so he's getting frustrated. He's like, I want to move, I want to play, I want to go, and he falls. So
how old is he now?
He's 10. He's almost 11.
So I'm wondering also, another question I'm thinking is like, what do you do for socialization? Does he have friends? Because obviously not everybody in your community has Duchenne's, but has he have any issues socializing, making friends in his peer group?
He actually does not, which is fantastic. We have amazing, amazing people in our lives who have been in our lives since before the diagnosis. And once I shared it, they said, yeah, okay, we're still here. That's cool. We're by your side.
Oh, that's beautiful. So he is getting like some socialization within the basic community, it sounds like.
Most definitely. We sent him to school for a few years and it proved to be too much physically. And so we have the liberty in the state that we live to do homeschooling. And so we've been able to meet other kids, and we've even maintained lots of relationships online during the COVID era as well. So yeah, that's great.
That's a beautiful thing. I'm going to share with the audience is that I'm in Peekskill, New York right now, and you're in the central zone. What city are you in?
I'm in Houston, Texas.
Houston, Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing, the technology. So I'm wondering if you're able to connect with people that are in the Duchenne, obviously you do connect with people in Duchenne's community outside of Houston. Tim tended to be very involved with what was going on in Africa in particular. And so I guess when I did one interview with him, I got the impression that this was something that happened more in Africa than anywhere else, but you're opening my eyes to realize it happens everywhere. It can happen anywhere.
It does. And one of the amazing things about Zoom and technology these days is I co-host a support group for Duchenne muscular dystrophy through the Duchenne Muscular Dystrophy Awareness Group. It's our biggest group on Facebook. And, you know, Tony, I have met parents from Australia, Sweden, South Africa, Canada, and then in the States. And so I've really gotten to know different cultures well and what's available to them and how they respond and what their community thinks about it. You know, some of these families in Africa, their community really truly think that they've been cursed because their child has a disability. So the family is then isolated because the rest of their village, they don't want to get cursed. So the level of knowledge, Tony, it's a struggle.
Well, I'd say that most people have never heard of it. I can attest to that.
You know, I can too.
Yeah, right. And I think that there's a cultural component into how one deals with this, probably with any disease for that matter. But there is a cultural component that, in speaking to Tim about it, I was shocked to find out how he mentioned someone in Africa whose wife divorced him, and she didn't understand the fact that she was a carrier, but in her mind, she felt that it was him. And it's just the lack of information, the lack of knowledge, the ignorance to it can be devastating, I think, to the children that are suffering from it. So in your mind, just in your heart and mind, how do you feel is the best way to bring awareness to this disease? What would you like to see?
Oh. You know, I guess it's got to start with the medical community because it is a rare disease and you're not just going to see somebody on the street and then you also happen to have a child with Duchenne. It doesn't happen like that often. So getting the medical community up to date and understanding the signs. There's again, my friend in South Africa, when they went to get medication for their son, the doctor said, "What's that medication? I don't know what that is." And she was, you know, quoting what we use here in the States. And he was like, "No, we can't get that drug. Sorry." And she had somebody else tell her on the phone, or maybe this is another family. They said, "No, we're not going to approve that. Insurance isn't going to approve that because it's not necessary." And, you know, they also said, yeah, Duchenne isn't fatal. So insurance company is thinking that Duchenne's not fatal. It was good.
What is the medication? Tell me what the medication is called.
Oh, absolutely. So in the States, general standard of care is accomplished through corticosteroids. And we start the boys pretty young at around 4 years old or so. The primary one is prednisone. Most people are familiar with that term. However, one of the big side effects is weight gain. And if you've got weak muscles and fragile bones, you don't want to put a whole lot of weight on that frame. There's another drug called deflazacort, which has been approved just for the Duchenne community, and it's a type of corticosteroid. There is less weight gain associated with it, and there's also fewer behavioral challenges with it. My son was actually in the clinical trial to bring it to approval in the state several years ago. So it's a good one. It's just, it's far more expensive than it needs to be. Because it is available only to the Duchenne community. So there's that game that we have to address as well.
So what are the percentages of people, of young men that come down with this, or young boys?
Mm-hmm. It's they're born with it, and it's one in about 3,600 right now. Life births.
Those are higher odds than I actually expected. I thought it would be high, that it would be a bigger number. Mm-hmm. So in my head, with that number, it sounds fairly common.
It does and it doesn't. So here's a question for you, Tony. Have you ever met someone? Have you ever met someone with Duchenne muscular dystrophy in your community?
No, I have not.
So there's that component. Yes. Most people probably won't know someone in their community.
I have never met anyone except for Tim, who talked about his sons. And I have to say, I was very shocked about how this disease manifests. It's like, I think that if someone were to recognize someone, a boy of having, or a girl having Duchenne's, you could see it in their calves. And he talked about the progression of the disease, which I'll say that in interviewing him, I felt bad about asking him and making him relive this thing through such tragedy. I just want to say some things about Tim, just to get on a high note here. Tim, a lot of people didn't know this. Tim was a photographer. He loved to take pictures, and he had an exhibit locally in Peekskill, New York. Well, actually, it was in the Hudson Valley. It wasn't in Peekskill. It was in Shrub Oak, which is near Peekskill, at a library. And it was his first exhibit of his work. And I felt so happy for him, so proud of him, because he was able to digress from that. And I believe that taking pictures was something that helped him get away from his feelings of grief. And I'm wondering if the families of Duchenne's are involved in any kind of programs to take them away from this tragic and sad disease. They could create some art. And I know that Tim took great pictures. He took beautiful pictures.
Yeah, he did. They are gorgeous. And his pages are still up on Instagram and Facebook. If anybody wants to take a look at those. Photography by Tex.
And I'll say, because we have to wrap it up pretty now, but you'll come back, of course. I have to say that his persona was very interesting. And when he took pictures, he called himself Tex. And so maybe that's how you met, in Houston, Texas. But his pictures were great, and he took beautiful pictures within the Hudson Valley, which, you know, I really invite people to see by going to photography by text and look at those pictures, and also go to the Facebook page. Just tell the Facebook page one more time for the viewers to hear that so they can go.
Sure. So his Facebook page is the Everett and Austin Project.
Everett and Austin Project.
Mm-hmm. And my Facebook page is Family, Friends, and Duchenne. My friends page, who is helping with the funding for the families, is Quaid Journey Duchenne Muscular Dystrophy.
Thank you for that. And I want the audience to realize how important it is to be aware of this disease, because you just never know if you're going to run into somebody with it. And if you can find it in your heart to donate to help with research and for the sufferers of Duchenne's, I understand in Africa, they have a hard time just getting wheelchairs. You know, so there's help needed. And it's pretty simple to go to the Facebook pages and learn more about it. And I think that you'll find it in your heart that you want to help out in some way. And thank you, Lindy, for coming on the show. And I do wish you all the best. And let's stay in touch, because as time passes, I believe in my heart that there will be progress as well. I do believe that way. And that's the way I think about things. You know, just light a candle, say a prayer, say a little prayer for Tim Gillen and the people that are dealing with this disease, Duchenne's muscular dystrophy, and check out the websites, the pages and Facebook, and please go to Tim's page as well. He was an outstanding man, very humble, and he was a lot more than he presented. He was a lot more than he presented. And I know him to be very humble, very schooled. He didn't really brag about that. He didn't talk about it, but he had many, many credentials. And with that, I'm going to say, rest in peace, Tim Gillen. We miss you. And you did good things on this planet. that are starting to continue. They're continuing. And I'll say goodnight to the audience. Thank you so much for coming to visit. I really appreciate having people like Lindy on the show. And remember the Everett and Austin Project in Tim Gillen's memory. He was from Peekskill. He lived in Peekskill, New York. And a lot of people didn't know the kind of things that he endured and how strong a man he was. And I'll say on that, I wish I had just one inkling of the strength that he had. And I'll say goodnight for now. Thanks for coming to the show. Thank you so much, Lindy. All the best to you. And God bless you.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you.
Yeah. So I'll say goodnight for now. Goodbye for now. And things are going to get better. I believe that things will get better. I believe in miracles. Good night. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Energy Stoners Cafe.